PK Booth's annual used book and record sale on Saturday, August 19th, noon to 6 p.m. at Cider Riot. There will be fabulous books, DVDs, CDs, and vinyl at ridiculously low prices. It's a fun community event that benefits your favorite community radio station, K-Booth. Again, that's K-Booth's annual used book and record sale on Saturday, August 19th from noon to 6 at Cider Riot, 807 Northeast Cooch Street in Portland. More information can be found at kboo.fm on the right side of the homepage under community events.
And this is KBOO Portland. In just a couple of seconds, it will be 10 a.m. And there it is. Coming up, Sojourner Truth with Margaret Prescott. That's going to take us up to 11 a.m. when a Radio Geekly recounts the recent Portland Zine Symposium exploring independent publishing and DIY culture. And KBOO keeps you informed and involved and needs your help to continue to do so. Go to kboo.fm/give and make that hard left turn from passive listener into active member. That's right. That's how we keep it going. That's how you remain a fully informed, well-rounded citizen of your community. All that and more coming up on your community radio, KBOO Portland.
Welcome to Sojourner Truth. Thank you for staying with us. This is your host, Margaret Prescott. Today, Trump's latest attacks on immigrants and the man behind his immigration policy. Our guest is Isabel Garcia, Tucson, Arizona-based co-chair of the Coalición de Derechos Humanos. And the latest attack by Trump on affirmative action. The Department of Justice, headed by Jefferson Sessions, is ready to go to bat to defend white and Asian college students who the Trump administration is claiming to be suffering from reverse racism in college admissions. Here we go again. Our guest is civil and human rights campaigner, journalist, and attorney Barbara Arnwine. And for our weekly Earth Watch, we speak with environmentalist Carol Van Strum, author of A Bitter Fog, Herbicides, and Human Rights. We live in a global world. We're all interrelated. So on Sojourner Truth, we work to bring directly to you news and views on local, national, and international policies and stories that affect us all. And we draw out how those of us most impacted, women, communities of color, and other communities are responding. We also discuss the interrelationship between art and politics. Now for our news headlines.
For Pacifica Radio, I'm Eileen Alfandary. President Donald Trump has embraced legislation that would cut legal immigration numbers in half and shift the nation toward a system that prioritizes skills and mastery of English over family ties. Trump joined conservative Republican Senators David Perdue of Georgia and Arkansas's Tom Cotton to promote their bill.
For decades, the United States was operated and has operated a very low-skilled immigration system. The RAISE Act ends chain migration and replaces our low-skilled system with a new points-based system for receiving a green card. This competitive application process will favor applicants who can speak English, financially support themselves and their families, and demonstrate skills that will contribute to our economy.
The RAISE Act would eliminate green card preferences for family members like the grown children and siblings of U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Kathy Tuktakin is executive director of the National Network for Immigrant and Refugee Rights. She said Trump might be trying to focus messaging away from his losses on health care legislation and White House chaos by returning to the successful and ugly campaign rhetoric on immigrants. But she said Trump's claims don't stand up to examination.
I think maybe he intends to characterize those immigrants as uneducated, unskilled grandparents who are not productive. But frankly, a lot of family-based immigration have been the immigrants that continue to contribute to our economy. And I think we just have to look at our own state. California is immigrant-rich, is the sixth largest economy in the world. And our tax base of all the residents, including many, many immigrants in this state, probably subsidize a lot of the poorest states in other parts of the country.
It was the latest recent example of Trump championing an issue that animated his core voters. It came as Trump's poll numbers slid to a new low. A new Quinnipiac poll showed his approval rating at 33%. Gallup says 36%. In the Quinnipiac poll, 61% disapproved of Trump's job performance. Over 60% said he's not honest. Significantly, Trump's disapproval numbers have risen among non-college whites, two-thirds of whom voted for him last November. 43% of them now disapprove of his performance. Among college-educated whites, that number is 59%. New White House Chief of Staff John Kelly has reassured Attorney General Jeff Sessions his job is safe despite blistering criticism from President Trump. That's according to sources who spoke anonymously. In public comments and on Twitter, Trump has denounced Sessions for recusing himself from the Russia probe and what appeared to be a ploy to humiliate the Attorney General into resigning. But Republican senators pushed back hard. Sessions is also a favorite of conservatives outside of government. Some of those media conservatives suggested Sessions has been the most effective member of Trump's cabinet in delivering on campaign promises. Kelly reportedly told Sessions over the weekend that Trump would retain him as attorney general. The White House was forced to concede that two phone calls described by Donald Trump never happened. Trump said earlier this week that Mexican President Enrique Peña Nieto called him to praise his immigration policies. White House spokesperson Sarah Huckabee Sanders said there wasn't a phone call, but Trump and Peña Nieto spoke in person at the G20 summit. Trump also claimed in an interview he got a call from the head of the Boy Scouts saying his recent speech to the Scouts was the greatest speech that was ever made to them, and they were very grateful. The Scouts denied such a call occurred. The president and chief Scout executive both later had apologized to members of the Scouting community who were offended by Trump's political rhetoric. Huckabee Sanders said yesterday Trump's claim wasn't a lie and that he had been praised by Scout leaders at the event itself. Brazilian President Michel Temer won a congressional vote on a bribery charge against him that had fueled anger in Latin America's largest nation. Members of Congress's lower house, the Chamber of Deputies, voted 263 to 227 against suspending the president and sending him for trial before Brazil's highest court. Temer welcomed the vote. His remarks appeared on Al Jazeera.
Today, the Chamber of Deputies, which represents the Brazilian people, expressed itself in a clear and indisputable manner. This decision is not a personal victory, but rather a victory of the democratic state, of laws, of the strength of its institutions, and its constitution.
Temer's problems aren't over. The Attorney General is expected to charge him with obstruction of justice later this month, which would prompt another congressional vote. I'm Eileen Alfandari. You're listening to Sojourner Truth on Pacifica Radio.
This is Margaret Prescott, host of Sojourner Truth. To fully grasp the strategy of Donald Trump in rolling out his support for an immigration bill called the RAISE Act, put forward by Republican Senators Jim Cotton of Arkansas and David Perdue of Georgia, which would cut legal immigration, that is green card holders, by 50% over 10 years and include requirements such as being able to speak English to even enter the U.S., proving that one has the money to support oneself and one's family and also having a high skill level. To really grasp Trump's strategy, it's important to also take a look at the man behind Trump's immigration policy. Stephen Miller, who rolled out the immigration policy at a White House press briefing and who sparred with journalist Jim Acosta, is from the Steve Bannon wing of the White House. Bannon, a former editor of Breitbart News, which prides itself as being ultra-conservative, and the voice of the so-named alt-right, once had ties to white supremacist organizations. Stephen Miller, born in 1985, attended high school in Santa Monica, a wealthy and liberal community in Southern California. He is Trump's senior advisor on policy. Before that, Stephen Miller was part of Trump's campaign and also on his transition team. And prior to that, he was the communications director for then-Senator Jefferson Sessions and was a press secretary of the Tea Party. He has also served as a speech writer for Trump and as a press secretary for ultra-right former Congresswoman Michelle Bachmann. Earlier this year, it was Stephen Miller who, on television, challenged the separation of powers in the United States government and said that, quote, the powers of the president is very substantial and will not be challenged, end of quote. Steve Miller and Jefferson Sessions are also said to have developed a theory of nation-state populism, an isolationist anti-globalization, anti-immigration theory. Stephen Miller, once referred to the late Black poet Maya Angelou as suffering from racial paranoia, and he slammed MECHA, the Chicana student organization. Miller is also said to have been the drafter of Trump's Muslim travel ban and Trump's crackdown on sanctuary cities. So under Trump, who rolls out a policy tells us as much about the message, the direction of the administration, the message the administration is sending, just as much as the policy itself. There is a method to Trump's seeming madness. There are right-wing theorists in his administration that from immigration to affirmative action to mass incarceration and policing to the LGBTQ community are chipping away at hard-fought rights. We're going to go now to a clip where we will hear Stephen really taking on, or I should say Jim Acosta, the CNN reporter, taking on Stephen Miller.
What you're proposing, or what the president's proposing here, does not sound like it's in keeping with American tradition when it comes to immigration. The Statue of Liberty says, give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. Doesn't say anything about speaking English or being able to be a computer programmer. Aren't you trying to change what it means to be an immigrant coming into this country, if you're telling them you have to speak English? Can't people learn how to speak English when they get here?
Well, first of all, right now, it's a requirement that to be naturalized, you have to speak English. So the notion that speaking English wouldn't be a part of our immigration systems would be actually very ahistorical. Secondly, I don't want to get off into a whole thing about history here, but the Statue of Liberty is a symbol of liberty enlightening the world. It's a symbol of American liberty lighting the world. The poem that you're referring to that was added later is not actually part of the original Statue of Liberty, but more fundamentally,
the notion that this whole notion of they have to learn English before they get to the United States. Are we just going to bring in people from Great Britain and Australia?
I am shocked at your statement that you think that only people from Great Britain and Australia would know English. It's actually, it reveals your cosmopolitan bias to a shocking degree that in your mind, no, this is an amazing moment.
It sounds like you're trying to engineer the racial and ethnic flow of people into this country.
Jim, that is one of the most outrageous, insulting, ignorant, and foolish things you've ever said, and for you that's still a really The notion that you think that this is a racist bill is so wrong and so insulting.
Oh, please. The notion that you think it's a racist bill. That's Stephen Miller taking on CNN reporter Jim Acosta, whose father was an immigrant, in fact, an immigrant from Cuba. And you heard Jim Acosta saying that it seemed as though the White House is trying to engineer a racial and ethnic flow of people. Now, what else could one think they're up to? I'd now like to welcome our guest, Isabel Garcia, who's the co-chair of Coalición de Derechos Humanos, a grassroots organization based in Tucson, Arizona, that promotes respect for human and civil rights and fights the militarization of the border in the U.S. Southwest. She has been at the forefront of immigrant and refugee rights campaigns since the 1970s. Isabel, welcome back.
Thank you so much, Margaret. I hated to start with that clip of Stephen Miller, but thank you.
Yeah, you know, because not only, I mean, we're being told that the bill likely won't pass. There's already a lot of pushback in the Congress, we're told, of this so-named RAISE Act. But you know what? Even if the bill doesn't go through, who Stephen Miller is, the darling of Trump's base, the racist dog whistles, et cetera, itself sends a message and creates other problems. Isabel, your reaction to this bill?
Yes, I think obviously it was something I was expecting. He, on the trail, said something about returning to, you know, the 50s, immigration, that kind of thing. He was already giving language, and so now that they've got it down, it's very clear what they're doing. It's very racist to attack family immigration categories. Is really, that's what's really beyond the pale. They make it seem as if people can just bring any family members they want, and it's a country that touts family, right? Now all of a sudden we don't like family. It's really, really crazy. But